हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so continuing this chapter 2045, the Pandavas consult Krishna. So then Yudhishthira has mentioned that, you know, he wants peace, but he knows that it's most likely not possible. And Krishna was saying he is going to go and try to sue for peace. But Yudhishthira is having doubts on whether they need to push too hard, because then it means the basically killing of their elders and teachers and destruction of the dynasty. But Krishna points out that no, we're talking righteousness here. He's a bad ruler, a bad person, a bad ruler. He should not remain the king. Therefore, we have to fight for righteousness to establish an appropriate, a proper person on the throne. Krishna paused. Yudhishthira had rarely seen him so angry. What hope was there for the Kauravas when they incited Krishna to such fury? He seemed about to consume the entire cosmos by his mere glance. Yudhishthira saw him looking over at Draupadi, who had been moved to anger as he recounted Dushasana's terrible act. Tears dropped from her eyes, and she breathed heavily as Krishna went on speaking. By going to Hastinapur, I will remove all doubts. Everyone will see your good-heartedness and Duryodhana's sinfulness, right? So even if he doesn't get peace, everyone will see it properly, because as we see is that before, when they went and all that, then Dhritarashtra, then he was spinning the whole thing to try to make it look like, no, but we're peace-loving people. Why does Yudhishthira want a war? You know, no. So he's pointing out, no, Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra is supporting his sons is 100% wrong, and Yudhishthira is 100% in the right. So now, if there is a war, it's Dhritarashtra's choice, not Yudhishthira's choice. But Dhritarashtra is trying to get out of his duty and avoid blame by putting it, no, it's Yudhishthira's choice. I mean, we want peace. Like that. Everyone will see your good-heartedness and Duryodhana's sinfulness. I will remind the Kauravas all the evils they have perpetrated against you. None shall call you sinful, for you ask for peace. The world will blame the Kurus, headed by Dhritarashtra. Right? So that's Krishna's point, is that it should be clear who's right and wrong, because if you've come to establish Dharma, people should know what is Dharma. Otherwise, you have people saying, no, Karna was the hero of the Mahabharata, or, you know, this one or that one, or, you know, Duryodhana wasn't such a bad guy, and like that, because they don't actually know Dharma. It means the point of his point is the upliftment of mankind. That's the purpose, and that's what king's duties are. The Brahmins are leading by their knowledge and example, but you have to, through administration, see it happens. Therefore, then administration is there. And so Krishna has to establish what is right, what is wrong, who is right, who is wrong. Otherwise, people will misconstrue, oh no, but he felt like it, he was such a nice guy. But it's not a matter of feelings, it's a matter of what's the eternal law. You follow the eternal law, that's good. You will go against it, that will be wrong. I will ask for peace without sacrificing your interests. O ruler of men, hearing their reply and understanding their intentions, I will then return. Right, because others have went and it's just been a political point and trying to take advantage and diplomacy and that, but Krishna's going to go and establish Dharma. And therefore, if they choose war, then no, it's a religious war where Yudhishthira's in the right and they're in the wrong. Krishna looked around the room. Everyone's eyes were fixed on him as he turned back to Yudhishthira and solemnly concluded his speech. Know that war will certainly result. Duryodhana will not return to you any portion of your prosperous territories. I shall only remain for you to kill he who has already been killed by his own sins. And I shall assist you. Right? So his point is that Duryodhan is going to be, he's going to die because basically he's already been cursed by all the, all the Brahmins and all the elders. So therefore then he's already as good as dead. You know, now it'll just become official. Yudhishthira accepted Krishna's speech. He knew that Krishna's acts were always meant for the good of all beings. If he deemed war as necessary, then it could not be avoided, even if it meant killing the esteemed Kuru elders. Krishna wanted to hear from all of the Pandavas before he left. He looked across at Bhima. Realizing Krishna's desire, Bhima said, "I think you should say whatever you can to achieve peace, O Madhusudana." To the amazement of all, his voice was mild and impassive. "But please be careful. Duryodhana is resentful, wrathful, arrogant, and unable to hear good advice. Do not address him in harsh words or will react violently. Treat him with courtesy. It will be difficult to effect peace, but please try your best. Still, I foresee the imminent destruction of the Kurus. Even as Kali was born among the Asuras, so has this wicked Duryodhana taken birth among the Kurus. Try to assuage him with mild words, O Krishna, or our race will be extinguished. Let there be peace among us. Let us avoid the sin of annihilating our relatives. And let us live together as brothers." Krishna appeared surprised. Glancing at Yudhishthira and Arjuna, he began to laugh. "O Bhima, your words are like coldness in fire, or lightness in the earth." Right? Because Bhima's always been the one that to be wrathful and vengeful because of injustice. It's not that he's just violent in that like Duryodhana. Here it's that wrong has been done, and so he's taking that very harsh side. But he's saying that, no, in a gentle voice, he's saying all these things, we should try for peace. But know them to be a problem and be very, very careful. Otherwise, you know, they may make so much trouble. Bhima frowned as Krishna went on. "What has brought about this change of heart? Until now you have spoken only words indicative of war. You have spent entire nights sitting with your face bent downwards, breathing hot sighs. Running about and beating the earth, you sometimes appear insane. You spend your time in solitude and nothing can give you delight. Suddenly you will laugh out loud and at other times weep profusely. For long periods you sit with your head between your knees, with your eyes closed. All this is the work of wrath. O Bhima, you have sworn to kill Duryodhana and all his brothers. Why this sudden display of mildness?" Krishna smiled as he continued. "Alas, it seems that even the powerful are struck by terror when the time for battle arrives. Surely you are seeing unfavorable omens, and so you desire peace. Seized by fear, you have become like a eunuch, devoid of manliness. O son of Kunti, the minds of men are inconstant and easily swayed, like saplings moved by the wind. O hero, be firm. Do not give way to fear. I am totally amazed to see you in this state. Without you, your brothers will sink in an ocean of despair. Think of your noble lineage. You are a Kshatriya and meant to live by your might. This weakness of heart is unbecoming, O Bhima." Right? So, I know, Krishna just wants to, because everybody knows there's going to be war. So Krishna wants just to make sure that Bhima's, you know, still committed, because then everything will go nicely and Yudhishthira will win, and then, you know, religion will be properly established. So it's just, you know, they're cousins, so then they're, you know, playing like this. Like a first-class horse prodded by its rider, Bhima quickly stood up and said loudly, "Do not think my mind has been swayed, O Krishna. I am cheerful at the prospect of war. You know this well enough, as we have lived together many times. Or perhaps you do not know me, as one swimming in a lake does not know its depths. Thus do you find fault with me. Who, knowing me as Bhima, would possibly have spoken such words? Although it is always condemned to praise oneself, I shall speak of my prowess in order to ease your mind." Right? So he just wants to make sure Bhima is there. And also that will give support to others. Draupadi will be very happy. Then Arjuna, the twins, then the other kings that are there, knowing that Bhima is, you know, like this. He doesn't want to create any doubt, because if there's doubt, then they won't be able to fight properly, because it's known war is going to happen. Bhima held out his arms, which resembled a pair of elephant trunks. Who is there who, having once entered within the circle of these arms, could escape? Even if Indra, the ocean, and the Himavat in person assisted him, he would die. If the earth and heaven were to suddenly come against one another in fury like two great mountains, I could hold them apart with my two arms, along with all their movable and immovable creatures. All those who oppose the Pandavas, I will trample under my feet. O Achyuta, although you do not know me now, you will surely know me in the turmoil of battle. Your words pain me like the lancing of an old boil. My strength is even greater than I have described. When the time comes, you and the world will see me cutting down the foremost warriors with their elephants, horses, and chariots. I would not be afraid even if the three worlds rushed against me. I spoke only out of mercy, O Krishna, and could not bear any sort of trouble to avoid annihilating the Bharatas. Right? So he's just saying, it's out of mercy that he's saying, otherwise the Bharata race is gone, because they're the Sun dynasty. And it's not that it's okay, it's going to be Duryodhana and Yudhishthira are going to be out there and they're going to do some thumb wrestling or some arm wrestling or like that, or, you know, who can drink more lassi or eat more Shrikant or something, and whoever wins then, you know, gets the kingdom. No, it means they're going to bring all their allies, and the allies that are there are the whole world. So in this war, all the Kshatriyas will be destroyed. Right? So only those who are too young to go to battle, they'll be the only ones left. So then that's his consideration. Krishna smiled broadly as Bhima returned to his seat. Desiring to know your intentions, I spoke only out of affection. I was not finding fault with you. I know you are capable of all you have said and more. Right? Because he said it's not wise to praise yourself. So he said some things, just facts, but he said it's actually more than that, but just to give an idea. And Krishna says, yeah, I know what you said is true and more. I know the greatness of your soul and the strength you possess. My words were only meant to inspire you to be determined. Firm action will soon be required. Without action, a man cannot achieve his ends in this world. Although it is the ultimate cause, destiny alone is not sufficient. Right? So you say destiny is just what's coming, but the whole point is you have to be dealing with the future, right? If you're dealing with the world. So you perform your duties, and through those actions, your previous things come. They'll come on their own, but it's through those. Because we have to understand is that Krishna is everything. He takes care of everything. You know, he is time. He is action. He is results. He is the situation. But the point is, this relationship is tasted through action. Rasa is tasted through action. Therefore, then action becomes the central principle. But the point is supposed to be action in God consciousness, not just action for the material benefits. And so, therefore, even though, yes, if you sit there, you'll get the results of your previous actions, but if you're not God conscious, you know, you're not trying to elevate oneself in the spiritual platform, then that will all run out, and you've not done any good work for the future, you'll end up with nothing. Right? Nothing coming from the past, nothing coming from, you know, that will be there in the future. So therefore then, there's no advantage to that. And at the same time, his relationships can't, how will they be expressed? They're expressed through action, like that. So relationship is important, and of that relationship with the Supreme and the devotees based on this God consciousness, then that's what is being desired. Although it is the ultimate cause, destiny alone is not sufficient. One who acts with full knowledge of cause and effect, without attachment to the results, can bring about his highest goals, right? So you know how things work, and you're working because it's your duty. That gives your best results. And then if you're working without attachment, actual without attachment means you're doing it for Krishna. That I'm renounced at the time when I'm performing the activity, but in my heart I'm maintaining the desire to get those results for my own enjoyment or others' enjoyment. Then that's not actually result. It will give you elevation in the material world, but it won't take you beyond. So that means an actual detachment means it's being done for the pleasure of Krishna. Those who remain idle, either out of ignorance or fear, do not achieve success. Krishna turned towards Arjuna. What is your view, Dhananjaya? I shall leave at dawn for Hastinapur. Do you have any final thoughts? Arjuna had been silently taking everything in. He looked around the great hall. The many kings and brahmanas present looked back to him as he began to speak. Right, because here you have a very nice assembly of people who actually support each other, who actually have that respect. Yudhishthira has respect for all these kings have respect for them. Krishna is there, everyone's accepted as senior, because we already had Rajasuya, where he was acknowledged in the universe as the most respectful. So this is the group that accepts that. And so we see here, as Krishna speaks, everyone listens. Bhima speaks, they all listen. How Arjuna speaks, they all listen. Not that they're sitting there, you know, talking to each other, you know, about something, you know, hey, you know what do you think's for lunch today or something. Or, you know, they're sending messages on their phones, you know, stuff. No, they're you know, fully absorbed. So the reciprocation, the experience there then will be very full and complete. I think Yudhishthira has said all that needs to be said, O Dhananjaya, O Janardana. But it seems to me that you do not see peace as being easily obtained, owing to Dhritarashtra's avarice and his wicked son's malice. You consider, too, that man's desires are useless unless attended by action, that one should not simply depend on destiny. Right? With Dhritarashtra, for anything he thinks he can get, he makes the effort. Anything he doesn't think he can get, because he's doing something wrong. In other words, he performs his effort to get what he wants, and he knows the effort he's performing will give bad results. But then he says, oh, but that's just all destiny. So we see he cheats. Where he should be leaving it to destiny, he's taking action. And where he's not taking action, you know, instead of taking, he's leaving it to destiny. So he's got it backwards. Thus, you consider that we should take up arms to recover our rightful kingdom, should that become necessary. Having stated his understanding of Krishna's speech, Arjuna gave his response. Right, so he's summed up what he thought. Yudhishthira said very nice. He said, you know, Bhima's already made his point there that supports that. In my opinion, O Keshava, there is nothing unattainable to one who acts in knowledge. Acting in accordance with your desire constitutes supreme knowledge. I know you to be the best well-wisher of both ourselves and the Kurus. Whatever you decide to do, I will accept. If you desire peace, then it shall be so. And if you desire war, then I am ready to fight. So he's taking another, because up to this point, they've all been discussing on the political platform and the religious platform. But he's taking the spiritual platform here. Not that they're all not seeing it like that, but he's voicing this. Is that it actually depends upon you. You being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what you desire, we as your servants want to assist. So if you desire peace, we'll accept that. If you desire war, we're ready to help. Like that. Arjuna paused, his hand resting on the long sword by his side. Surely he had been born only to wield weapons in combat. He could not honestly see any chance of peace, even with Krishna going to Hastinapur, right? Because they don't see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It means Bhishma Dev, of course, does, because he's a Mahajan, but playing the part of a Kshatriya, his duties, then he has to support the throne. Like that. So therefore, it's just that an unfortunate situation. Despite his power, Krishna never compelled others to act against their own desires. He would offer them wisdom and present logic and reason. But in the end, everything would depend upon Dhritarashtra's and Duryodhana's free will. There was nothing to indicate that they would respond favorably. In all probability, Krishna would return insulted. Right? Because Krishna gives that. He gives the shastras. He you know, the guru comes. So, you know, so many things are there on what we should do. And he makes all arrangements. As the super soul, he's making the arrangements for whatever we direction we want to get according to our previous desires and results. And so then him dealing in that way, then now it's up to us that how we use that independence. So he's seeing, okay, you know what they're going to do. So they're pointing, we're taking our independence and throwing that behind what Krishna wants to do. But if we're working just on the political platform, then you know that Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra aren't going to comply. They're not going to go for peace, because that means giving everything back. They can't tolerate that. And so then it's just going to be war, right? And so then they're ready. Yes, and so then, yes, so that was his point there. And Arjuna will continue, so we'll hear next time. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada.